morning, you have the pleasure of hearing Pastor Will preach. I want to say a few things before he does. For those that aren't aware, he is an associate pastor. He's a called man of God, and I thank the Lord for him and his wife and his family. I know they do a lot of work here in the church, and currently they're working with our children, and they're praying the Lord will build up our children's ministry and the children we do have. They're teaching from the Bible and teaching them God's Word. But he is a called man of God, and so I think it's important to give him opportunity to preach. And so this morning you have the blessing of hearing him preach this morning, and I tell you it's a blessing to have you here.
Thank you. I think that's a good advertisement because we actually are getting ready to start our vacation Bible school and everything else. So that's a perfect advertisement to say, come along and get involved with all the things we got going on with our children. There's always room for more. And you'll ask anyone here, Brother Bob, he's back there counting the money right now. But normally, around vacation Bible school time, he's looking for helpers to help count pennies because kids don't keep pennies in those little penny wrappers. They always end up everywhere they're not supposed to end up. So we always need all the help we can get. So if you can count, which I think everyone here can, if you can count, you can be used. Amen. Well, I'm thankful I can be here this morning. Me and Pastor, we're brothers, but we're a little different. So don't hold it against me for how he acts, and I won't hold it against him for how he acts. But we're thankful, or I'm thankful, that I can be here this morning. And, you know, as I begin to think about what God or how God would have me to bring a message this morning, what exactly it would be on, I do a lot of, I'm kind of sentimental. I like to think about different things, and I don't know, I guess that's just the way that God made me. But as I begin to think about certain things, I remember about 10 years ago when me and Angie first, I guess it was just me and Angie, there were no kids with us, so we came along by ourselves, and it was kind of a scary situation, if we would, and you may have your own time like this, but I begin to think about what it was like when we came to Little Rock. I never had been this far, and this can sound funny, never had been really this far south, if you would. So this is considered really southern for me. But when we came here, I really wasn't sure what to expect. And so as we got here, we got settled in, got used to different things that we had. I had to get used to sweet tea. I wasn't really used to that. Angie was really excited about that, but I had to get used to that. But there were several things that I wasn't ready for. I wasn't didn't really know about. I guess wasn't thinking about. But I got a job, and this job happened to be downtown. So for me, I had to learn how to get downtown. So I remember my first day on the job and driving down to downtown. If you haven't been there in a while, you need to drive down there. It's once you're down there, you kind of learn your ways around. But I remember going down one-way streets that I wasn't supposed to be going down the wrong way. And I learned that real quick. They're not always marked as good as you think you were, or as good as you think they would be. But I remember that. And I remember the feeling of going downtown and trying to find a parking spot downtown. If you haven't tried that lately, that's an adventure in and of itself. But I remember going downtown, finding a parking spot, walking to my new job, and then meeting the person who was going to welcome me in the door. Walking me to my desk and saying, here's where you're going to sit. You're going to look at these three carpeted walls for the next 8 hours. This is your computer. This is your desk. These are your drawers. You can do whatever you need to. Here you go. I don't know if I can really put it into words the feeling that I felt, kind of overwhelmed, kind of lost, kind of, what do I do now? What am I supposed to do? I guess I'll just sit here in my chair and look at these four or three carpeted walls, look at this computer that I'm not sure what to do with, and figure out what I'm supposed to be doing. It was a feeling of, I guess, being scared, being overwhelmed, not really knowing what I should be doing. You know, life can be like that sometimes, or at least it can be for me. Strange situations that we really don't know what to do in. We sometimes run in directions that we probably shouldn't run in, and we get ourselves into situations that we shouldn't be in, and sometimes we end up way out in right field and not knowing how we got there, not really knowing how we're going to get out. I read where there was a survey conducted by a large research company one time, and it says that when Christian adults were asked to identify their most important goals for life, and this is kind of sad, it says not a single person said that it was to be a committed follower of Jesus Christ. It said less than one out of every five people had any specific measurable goals related to their spiritual development. You know, loved ones, I want to ask you this morning. What is our goal as a Christian? What should our goal as a Christian be? You know, at work, when I got there, I probably within the next 10 or 15 minutes after I initially got there, they came back and said, okay, this guy is going to be the one that you need to follow around. You need to sit where he sits. You need to walk where he walks. You need to do what he does. And he'll show you everything you need to know. I was thankful for that. I was thankful that I was given someone or given something in order to help me do my job. You know, this morning I think that even as Christians, even as followers of Jesus Christ, we in a sense need a job description. And you know what I like about this is that the fact that God's not real difficult, God's not real confusing. We can make the Bible confusing. We can make the Bible more confusing than it is. But when we really look at it, it's simple, isn't it? It's simple. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to see some of God's, or some of Jesus Christ's disciples here, but I want to see what His job description is for them, and I want us to look at that and maybe pull out what our job description is, okay? Matthew chapter 4, if you would, we'll start with verse 17. And it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for all your blessings that you've given to us. I thank you for your word that you've given to us this morning. Lord, I know there's nothing that I can say that will have any effect to anyone here today. But Lord, we ask that you use your scriptures this morning. You use me and hide me behind your cross to, Lord, help us to see what you'd have for us this morning. Help us to be challenged by your word. Help us to really see what our cause, what our job, what our duty here on earth is. Lord, we want to please you. And so we ask you this morning, Lord, that you may make it more clear than ever before how we are to please you and how we are to serve you and how we are to live this life as we are here on this earth. We give you all the praise and glory for whatever happens. In your name I pray. Amen. We see Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee. And he sees two men, Simon Peter and Andrew. And they're what? They're just fishing. Not doing anything bad, just doing their job. And as he's walking by, he says what? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You see, I think right in this small sentence, we see a job description for a Christian. Jesus simply says, follow me. Doesn't get any more difficult than that. Follow me. Jesus extends an invitation for them to follow him. Now, what does follow mean? Follow means to engage in as a calling or a way of life. To be or to act in accordance with, to accept as an authority, to watch steadfastly, to follow an example, or to be guided. It's also synonymous with the word obedience. To follow is to obey. Guys, this morning, if we want to please God, if we want a job description for our life, if we break it down as simple as it can be, it's to this, to follow Christ, to obey Christ. Not any harder than that. We could stop right now and we could have it all right there. But I want us to look a little more at what our job descriptions that Christians should, what our job description as a Christian should be. What does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? What does it mean? So we're really going to look at the word follow this morning. Verse 19, he said, saith unto them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What does it mean to follow? Well, I believe it means doing whatever it takes. Doing whatever it takes in order to be obedient. Think about these guys here. They were out fishing on their nets. They weren't doing anything bad. They were simply doing what their job told them to do. Jesus comes along and says, follow me. But what do? They followed him. Now, I want you to think about what their actions meant. Because, you know, you always hear, whatever action we do, whatever action we take always has effects or consequences. Put yourself in their situation. What would happen right now if you just left everything right now, this instant? You didn't go back home. You didn't go back to your job. What if you were on the job and you did that? You're pretty sure you wouldn't have a job to go back to, right? Now, I'm not saying everyone in here right now we need to just leave and go follow Christ right now. Obviously, Christ isn't walking the earth right now, so we don't have that option. But I wanted to ask you, what kind of consequences were there to their actions or to their choices? They left their family to follow Jesus Christ. They left their jobs to follow Jesus Christ. They left their home to follow Jesus Christ. They left their friends to follow Jesus Christ. I don't know about y'all, but right there, some of those things I start checking off, and they're not exactly the easiest things to do. To leave all those things just like that. To leave those things in order to do what Christ would have them to do. You see, following Jesus Christ means we need to be willing to do whatever it takes. Willing to overcome whatever obstacles. Willing to leave everything, if that's what it means. Some people may say, well, they were just fishermen. They didn't really have a whole lot to leave. That's all they had. They had to leave everything. They had to leave everything that they were comfortable with in order to get uncomfortable and follow Jesus Christ. They had to leave everything that they were comfortable with in order to be obedient. So what's more important, to be comfortable or to be obedient? To do what you want or to be obedient? You know what? Let's not answer that, because I think in our own lives we think about that ourselves. I read a humorous illustration, and it talked about a hog and a hen. You guys heard this one? It said that there was a hog and a hen, and they both belong to the same church. Now, I'll be the hog, okay? I'm not calling anyone here a hog and hens, but they both belong to the same church, and the church had a program, and they wanted to feed the hungry. So they started thinking of ways that they could help out, ways that they could be involved in the church. Well, the hen had a great idea. The hen said, you know what? I've got it. We'll provide bacon and eggs for the church to feed the hungry. Well, they thought that was a great idea. The longer the hog thought about it, you know what? He said, you know what? There's one problem with your bacon and egg solutions. For you, it only requires a contribution. But for the hog, it requires a full commitment. You see, guys, in order to follow Jesus Christ, we can't just contribute. We can't pick and choose one we want to follow. In order to be obedient, we need a full commitment to Jesus Christ. There has to be our life offered to Him. We have to be willing to do whatever it takes, whenever it takes. Willing to go whatever He wants. Let me ask you this morning. Are you willing to give up whatever Christ asks you to give up in order to follow Him? That may take your job. And I'm not saying that to say this morning to say, hey, you need to go tomorrow and leave your job. But I do know personal instances where there have been Christian, I know a Christian brother who had to leave a certain job because of the things they did at the job site, because of the things that his company began to do. Are you willing to leave a job because of what they do for Jesus Christ? What about friends? If you had to part with friends because they don't walk the same walk you want, they don't do the same things that you know you should be doing, what about family? Family may be one of the hardest ones. When you have lost family members, it's hard, isn't it? And I'm not saying you don't talk to them, but are you willing to separate in order to follow Jesus Christ? Are you willing to separate from even, I won't say separate, but are you willing to leave even the family members you love? I think about the missionaries that we have that are willing to do so. But are you willing to do whatever it takes to follow God? You see, what does it mean to follow? Well, it means to do whatever it takes, but it also means to go wherever He leads. We need to be willing to go. That's hard to say, isn't it? I want to serve God here. You know what? I want to serve God where I'm at the time, where I'm comfortable with the time. These men here, they didn't know where they were going. They didn't know where Jesus was leading them. He didn't give them a map and say, okay, here's our next 3-year plan. Because actually, probably all the time they had about that time. He didn't say, in 3 years, we're going to go to this city, and this city. We're going to do this. We're going to stay here. We're going to sleep here. We're going to eat here. No, they didn't have a plan. They simply had to trust. They needed to be willing to go wherever. Now, I'm not a very adventurous person. My wife, on the other hand, she likes change. She would enjoy changing the scenery all the time. I don't like that. I like to stay put. I grew up in the same house the whole time. My parents still live in the same house, and that's not very common, I don't think, anymore. I don't like change. Those apostles, those disciples, need to be willing to go wherever God would lead them, wherever Jesus Christ would take them. It's not a simple thing to say, not for me at least. But also they need to be willing to go whatever the weather, whatever the trials, whatever came their way, they need to be willing to do it. I read an illustration about the Admiral Ryan Judson was a missionary to Burma. And I can kind of relate. You know, as you get older, your perspective on life changes. You kind of see things from a different angle. Well, when he graduated from seminary, he received an invitation, I guess you would, from a very fashionable church in Boston to be the assistant pastor. Now, his mom and his sister were very excited about it. They rejoiced because now he could stay home. And he could serve in the ministry close to home and do all the things. Now, I'm going to say this. When I was younger, right out of college, I wanted to do everything. I wanted to go anywhere, do all that. The older I get, and my kids are growing older, you know what? I want them to stay close to me. I want them to, you know, you don't need to go off any farther. You know, we got good stuff right around us. I want them to stay close to home. So I'm starting to see things from a different angle. Well, his mom and his sister were really excited. You could stay here. I'm sure his parents were kind of like that as well. You could stay here and do all the same things. Admiral Judson said his work was not here. He said he believed God was calling him to the seas beyond. And he says this is a pretty cool quote. He says, I feel it would only be partial obedience, and I could not be happy with that if I stayed here. Think about that. He was willing to go because, even though he had to leave his family, he was willing to go to Burma and leave all he had to. He was willing to do whatever it took or go wherever it took. I think there's thousands upon thousands of converts that he had under his ministry, and his influence went all over the world. Now, we have the benefit, let me put it this way, we have the benefit of looking at his life, we have the benefit of looking at the apostles and the disciples' life and saying, you know what, God led them, and yeah, they did some crazy things. They did went some places that, you know what, God delivered them through all these. You know what, in our lives, we may have the same option. Now, we can't look ahead. We can't know for sure what's going to happen, but we know God will guide. We know God will bless us through this. We need to be willing to go wherever He leads us. Well, let me ask you this question. When should we go? When should we follow? Is there a good answer to that? I'm pretty sure that those apostles, that those men on that boat, didn't wake up that morning saying, you know what, I think I'm going to decide after so many hours of fishing on the boat that I'm going to give this job up. I'm going to decide that I'm going to change my lifestyle in the middle of the day. I'm pretty sure they didn't go to bed that night thinking, you know what? I'm going to change my whole life tomorrow. I'm going to leave everything. You know, usually when God works, it's not when we plan it or not when it's on our schedule. The Bible says in verse 19, it says, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Verse 20 says, and they straightway left their nets. Another account in Matthew 4:22, it says, and immediately they left their ship and their father and followed him. Think about those words, straightway and immediately. Man, those are powerful words, aren't they? Those are descriptive words. Now, a lot of times we want to follow Jesus Christ, but maybe not immediately. We want to kind of see if we can do it our way, we can serve, or we can follow how we want to follow, and maybe we can fit him into our schedule, fit him into our lifestyle, but we don't want to do it immediately. Maybe when it suits us best. Now, y'all don't have to worry about that. Maybe it's just me. But the more I studied about that, the more I looked, I thought, you know what, that kind of fits me a lot. We want to do things when they are convenient for us. But the word immediately and straightway, it implies high priority, urgent matter, a pressing matter. They showed by their actions that they followed immediately. They showed that they how important of a matter it really was to them. You know, I heard this quote. It says, we will make time for the things that we think are important. Now, I'm going to ask you guys a question. How many here went to Walmart or a grocery store sometime this week? Probably everyone. Or had a family member do that. We all do that. Why? Because we need to get food. We certain things we need to get. And I don't know if we could live without Walmart. Okay? But we went to the grocery store. We went to a grocery store to pick certain things up. We probably watched the news. We probably had or made time for things that were important to us. Guys, we need to make sure we make time. Not just make time, I should say. We need to make sure we give time and are willing to change our time whenever God calls. Immediately. I like that. Immediately. Now, I can't say that I'm always willing to do that, but we need to do it immediately. Psalms 119, the psalmist talks and he says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Delayed not. Let's not delay to follow Jesus Christ. When he leads, let's not delay. What do you think Jesus would have said if Simon Peter would say, hey, Jesus, I know you want me to follow you, but it's not a good time right now. I'm on this boat. I got this net here. We got some fish. Can you come back tomorrow? Can you come back next week? I need some things. What do you think? I don't know. What do you think Jesus says to us when we say, Jesus, is not a good time right now. If you only knew what I had going on in my life, you wouldn't ask me to be doing this. You wouldn't bring something else in my life right now if you really knew what was going on. Guys, we make time for the things that are important. These people immediately followed him. They immediately followed Jesus Christ. They straightway followed Christ. And I believe that leads us to our next thing. Why should we follow Jesus? Why should we do this? There was a young woman who was trying to get into college. And she got her college application, and she was filling it out. And as she was filling out her application, she came across a question. And the question read, it says, are you a leader? Well, she was honest, and she was being conscientious. Her heart sunk when she read that question. She knew she wasn't a leader. She thought, well, I got to be honest about this. I can't just make this up. So she marked no. She returned the application, just expecting the worst. To her surprise, when she received a letter back from college, it read this. It said, Dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveals that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that we have at least one follower. You see, it's important that we follow Jesus because in our life, we need to understand there's a time and a place for everything. There's a time and a place for everything. Think about this. We get so caught up in our roles of our life. Are you a parent? A mom? Dad? Husband? Wife? Teacher? Maybe at work you're a boss, a supervisor, a manager. Maybe on your team you're a team captain. We get so caught up leading other people or simply leading our life, leading things in our own life, however we do them, that we forget that we're supposed to be followers. Why should we follow Jesus? Because we're not called to lead Jesus. We're called to simply follow. Our first responsibility is to be followers of Jesus. Think about this. The first command that Jesus gave to his disciples was what? Follow me. Not hard, not difficult. We need to follow because it's the right thing to do. We need to follow no matter what happens because we know, Romans 8:28, we know that God is working and God will bring it about his will on purpose. We need to follow because it's right. We need to follow because it's obedient, and obedience will bring joy in our lives. Guys, you ever have a kid that doesn't want to obey? And I think more when the kids are little, and I'm sure I'll think more as my kids become teenagers. There's no joy when there's disobedience, is there? As a parent, no, there's not. You just want your kids to obey. And not because you want to be the boss over them, but because you know what's right for them. You know that's what's going to bring joy in their life. Being obedient, following Jesus will bring joy into our lives. I read a story about a quarterback. Roger Staubach was a quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. In 1971, they won the Super Bowl. And he said this. He said that as a quarterback, he didn't call his own plays. And it was a trialing experience for him because he thought, as a quarterback, I should be able to do what I want to do. I am the quarterback of this team. He says that at the time, his coach was Coach Landry. He's a legendary coach, and he said that he would send in every play, every run, every pass. He would tell him what to do, and only when in emergency situations could he change the plays. Now, he said that he, even though he considered Coach Landry to have a genius mind when it came to football, this was a source of pride for him, and he thought he should be able to run his own team. I mean, this guy's a professional athlete, probably a Hall of Famer himself. I should be able to do what I know what I can do. He said he had a decision to make. Would he allow pride to rule his life and ignore his coach and make himself a star? Or would he listen to the coach and do what he wanted? And this is a secular quote, but think about this. Here's what he said. He said years later, he came to this realization. He said, I faced up to the issue of obedience. Once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory. Guys, in our Christian lives, when we learn to follow, when we learn we don't have to lead, we simply have to follow, we'll have joy, we'll have harmony, we'll have fulfillment in our lives. Next, I want to think about this. How do we follow? We've got to make it practical, right? How do we follow Jesus Christ? Well, verse 19, he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What did they do? They simply followed. Isn't that all they did? That's all they did. First, we have to have a leader. We have to follow something, right? We can't just, if we don't have a leader, we're just kind of wandering aimlessly. So we need to have a leader that we're going to follow. So who's our leader? Jesus Christ. If we don't have a leader, there's no point. If we have the wrong leader, there's no point. But in order to follow Jesus, we simply have a leader. We fix our eyes upon him, and we begin to walk. You ever played, okay, I'm going to make it more simple than it is. I'm going to make it as simple as it is. How about that? You ever played follow the leader as a kid? Think about that. What'd you do? You watched the kid in front of you, and you went wherever they went. And if they went up and down the stairs, you would go up and down the stairs. If they turned a circle over here, you would turn a circle over there. And your goal was to do what? Follow the leader. And if you did anything other than what they did, then, you know, technically you're out or whatever the case is, but no one ever knew because the leader just had so much fun walking around, leading people around things and into things. Well, our leader's not like that. But all you have to do is follow the leader. As a Christian, all we need to do is follow Jesus Christ. It's not hard, but follow and do what Jesus said. Well, practically speaking, what did Jesus do? It'd be easy to say, well, just follow him and then just leave it there, but what did Jesus do? He didn't live a difficult life. He had something to say and something to do. He said, follow me. And what did he have to do? He came to serve and he came to die on the cross for our sins. He came to show us the way to heaven. He came to show us the way to have a better life. Not here only, I should say, but beyond. Wasn't difficult. Wasn't difficult. Wasn't too hard. Practically speaking, how do we follow Jesus? Well, you start with your life. Every day, we begin to follow Jesus. You make sure He's the leader you're following. You make sure he's the one in your life that you want to please. You make sure that you place him in a position in your life where you can follow him. You make sure you spend your time in the Word of God so you know his way, so you know his thoughts, so you know what he's telling you. And you begin to walk. And you begin to follow him. Will Jesus call us to lay our lives down? I don't know. He may. He asked some of the disciples. But until then, guess what? Just follow. Just do what he says until then. Don't ask, are we there yet? Don't try to do more than you have to. Just follow. And when you stumble, that's all right, because that's part of it. Sometimes it seems like that's the only way we get there is when we stumble, because when we stumble, we realize, oh, okay, maybe I'm not got my eyes where they should. Maybe I'm not doing what I should. The disciples stumbled, didn't they? Look at Peter. Wow, he was just kept stumbling after time after time after time. And yet God, Jesus took him and helped him back, kept helping him. We need to understand that we just simply need to follow. God doesn't ask us to be perfect. He doesn't ask us to be sinless. Just simply follow him. Lastly, I think this is probably the most important part. Who should follow? Not who should we follow, but who should we follow? John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Guys, none of this message matters unless we get this part right here. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never asked him to come into your heart and forgive your sins, you've never given your life to him, this part doesn't matter. None of this else matters. You can follow Jesus Christ, or be a good person, I should say, even read your Bible, but if you haven't given your life to Christ, it doesn't matter who you follow. It doesn't matter what you do. First, you need to follow him salvation. You need to follow and give your life, accept his sacrifice on the cross for your sins. Accept his way of salvation. Not try to make a way that is better for you or more convenient for you or that you like better, but simply accept his way. Take the Bible at it as it is. Take God's word as it is. Understand there's nothing more that we need to do, nothing we need to add, no works, nothing else I need to maintain. Simply take his sacrifice on that cross and his blood shed on Calvary for our sins. Secondly, we need just to get going. We just need to do it. I want you to think about something. As I was reading that, verse 18, it says, Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw the two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Now, I want you to think about this. If you study this, this wasn't their first encounter with Jesus. A couple chapters, I guess you would say earlier, they met Jesus, okay? So this wasn't their first encounter. And it brings me to this point. They already knew Jesus. Here's something. As Christians, we can be saved. We can know Jesus Christ as our Savior, but we cannot be following him. Does that make sense? We can have God as our Lord. We can have Christ as our Lord and our Savior and still not be following him every day. You know what I'm talking about. Kids, we can be, I'm thinking about myself as a kid, we can be children to our parents and not be obedient to our parents. Can't we? I know I was, and I know I have been. It's possible to be saved and not totally committed to Jesus Christ. It's possible to be saved and not living an obedient life. It's possible to be saved and not following Jesus like we should. You ever had that when you're trying to go, when you're going hiking or taking the kids somewhere, and you turn around and you got that kid that you always have to be chasing down because he's walking in the sticks, or he's walking over there and he's getting off the trail, or just go to Walmart and you got the same thing. I'd probably rather the wild animals in the hills than I would Walmart. You walk and you can't find your kids because they're over here. Possible to be a Christian and not be following Jesus Christ. Guys, I'm not saying that to say, oh, you should be embarrassed of yourself. I'm not saying, oh, you should be ashamed of yourself. I'm saying this to refocus yourself. Think about that. Follow me is all he said. But we have a choice this morning. Jesus didn't take it and say, hey, you're following me. Jesus could have made him follow him, couldn't he? He could have made that boat come ashore and turned them into robots and made every decision for him. But he didn't. He gave them an option. He gave them a choice. He says, follow me. Guys, this morning I want you to think about, what's your perspective on it? What's your take? Are you following Jesus? Simply going through the motions. Are you following Jesus in your daily life? Are you willing to go wherever he wants you to go? Are you willing to do whatever he wants you to do? You willing to give up whatever he wants you to give up? I read a story about when they were building the London Cathedral. And it says that a man was walking by and he saw some workers working on it. And he saw the first guy working out, and he asked him, he said, what are you doing? He's asking what exactly he was doing. And he said, I'm cutting stones for 10 shillings a day. I thought, okay. Kept on walking, saw another worker, and he said, well, what are you doing? He said, I'm putting in 10 hours a day on this job. Both honest answers, right? Got to the third man, he said, well, what are you doing? And this third man said, I'm helping construct one of London's greatest cathedrals. You see, what's our mindset? Are we simply going through the motions? Are we just doing, hey, I'm going to church? I'm not trying to pick on anyone. I'm asking myself this morning, when you got up to go to church this morning, did you say, what are you doing? Well, it's Sunday. I'm going to church. That's what we do, right? Or you say, I'm going to serve my Lord and Savior. I'm going to carve out 1 hour of this week, 2 hours of this week, to sing songs unto God and tell God how great He is and to offer praise to Him and to learn more about Him so I can have a better relationship with Him. I'm going to spend some time with some brothers and sisters in Christ. Guys, I'm not trying to pick on anyone. I'm looking at myself probably more than you. But what is our perspective? Are we putting in 10 hours a day? Are we just putting our time in? Or are we doing this for a reason? Are we doing it so we can follow Jesus Christ? Follow the leader. That's all it is, right? Follow the leader. Follow in salvation. Follow with your life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you for giving us a job description for our life, Lord. It's not any more difficult than that, Lord. Follow you. Lord, I pray this morning if there be anyone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, that they may follow you as you lay down your life for their sins. Lord, I pray also for those who already know you as their Savior, that they'd be willing to follow you in every area of their life. Lord, I ask the same in my life as well.